When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Baton Rouge, major crime over the weekend. We're going to talk about all of that. At least 140 are dead in Moscow. And Woody's got a breaking news story for you as well. Today, the 27th of March, 2024, on Real Life, Real Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Everton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. Boys, hump day.
It is hump day. And when you're hearing this, I'm going to start out with this, y'all. It's serious. So, you know, I usually read the news like 9 o'clock in the evening. I read it again in the morning. I get up to have my coffee. And this morning, we came in a little bit early, and I was up at 4. And evidently, around 1:30 a.m. in Baltimore, a ship hit the bridge, the
Francis Scott Key Bridge,
and y'all, it collapsed. And now this bridge is 185 feet tall. Now, those of you from Louisiana, the Mississippi River Bridge in Baton Rouge is actually higher than the one you're on. It's 150 feet tall at its tallest point. So this bridge was like 3.5 stories taller than that.
And that bridge is scary as hell to drive over.
Yeah, well, at 1:30 a.m. Tuesday, they had a construction crew on the bridge, and thank God it was 1:30 a.m. in the morning. It's horrible. Yep. But this ship hits the bridge. And y'all, I know you're going to have seen the videos by now and everything, but it's just absolutely, like the governor said, it looked like something out of a movie. The whole damn thing fell. It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. The Baltimore mayor, Brandon Scott, says this is an unthinkable tragedy. This is a tragedy you can never imagine. Never did you think you would see the Key Bridge tumble down like that. It looked like something out of a movie, and our focus should be on preservation of life. And y'all, they've already pulled a couple people out, another article I was just reading say they're using sonar on the bottom of the river, and there's numerous vehicles down there, so it's going to be a lot more loss of life. They don't believe it's any kind of terrorist act or anything like that. But our hearts and prayers go out to those people, man. And you think about it every time. I think you mentioned this the other day when we were at a Parish Forensics when we went to dinner, about driving over that bridge and how scary it is, the Mississippi River Bridge. And this bridge was a lot longer and a lot higher.
Yeah.
And, you know, you fall 185 feet and you're not in a car, you're certainly going to die. It's like jumping out and hitting cement. But I don't know. And then that river,
and
like
it's cold. Well, it's the Chesapeake Bay, I believe, that bridge crosses, which is why it's pretty long, right? It's over a mile long. Yeah, it must be crossing the Chesapeake there.
When you watch this video, it'll just absolutely make you want
to cry. And look, unfortunately, there's nothing much that's new in Baltimore. That bridge has got to be really old.
Yeah.
Just to get hit by a barge and for it to cause that kind of a chain reaction.
To take it out.
Doesn't seem like that ought to be possible if there aren't major structural issues with the bridge.
Couldn't recreate what I saw in Hollywood. And the only saving grace is it was 1:30 in the morning and not rush hour.
For sure.
And so anyway, our hearts and prayers go out to them. Just praying for all of them. Hopefully they can find some people alive. and who knows what's going to happen. But let's get down to some true crime time for Wednesday.
We're going to start off in Louisiana and Baton Rouge specifically. And look, we were looking for stories. Just this past weekend, we could have filled up 10 shows.
You're right.
With crime stories out of Baton Rouge. One of the worst weekends they've had in the history of crime.
That is saying a lot.
Yeah, it really is. It was so bad, in fact, that Monday an emergency press conference was called by the chief of police, Thomas Morse, the new chief of police, and East Baton Rouge Parish Mayor President Sharon Weston Broon. They wanted to discuss the deadly weekend in particular and what they're planning to do to stave this off, and that's going to be the bulk of our conversation. Now, a fight at Fred's Bar early Saturday night resulted in a West Wego, Louisiana man being rushed to a hospital in critical condition. He later passed away, and we're going to have that story later on in this broadcast, but it's pretty shocking. There were also multiple shootings in Baton Rouge that police are now looking into, and detectives have already made some progress on those investigations, according to the chief. The vast majority of the shootings have not been random in nature. The motive behind them have been tied to relationships between the suspects and the victims.
Like retaliation stuff.
Right. The chief and mayor said they also believe most of the crimes are being committed by a small number of people. Saturday afternoon, a motorist was shot while driving down I-110 in Baton Rouge.
The same road I drove Friday.
Later died. Saturday evening, a gunshot was fired on North 43rd Street in the direction of a police officer. It actually missed that police officer and went into a house and hit someone. Fortunately, their injuries are not life-threatening. On Sunday, a man was shot and killed leaving a convenience store on Nicholson Drive. Three suspects targeted that victim, and he was shot dozens of times.
Yeah, I think everybody in this room got to see a little bit of that last week.
Two people were shot on Winburn Sunday afternoon. Both of those people survived, but the last one was listed in critical condition. But one was listed in critical condition. The chief said that a 14-year-old pulled out a gun and started shooting during a fist fight. The chief said during the news conference he will continue to do whatever he can to stop the violence. And he said, in my first 50 days, I've sat down with all shifts of uniform patrol. I've directed my officers to engage in, here's a thought, proactive policing. That would probably be a good start. In addition to the nearly 30,000 calls they responded to so far this year, that number kind of shocked me. According to Chief Morse, he has initiated more directive, proactive overtime patrols in the past week and said he was able to do that with funding from the mayor's office. But he went on in that press conference to also discuss the juvenile violence problem. He said in all of last year, they had, 11 homicides or something like that from juveniles murdering. He said this year they're already on number 6.
Yeah.
It's only March. And that's a concern. And so
that's part of what Jeff Landry put in a new special crime session about dropping the age down to try them as an adult.
It's
we're seeing that everywhere, right? Yeah. I mean, all across the country.
It's really a war zone in Baton Rouge right now. Look, all three of my kids go to LSU.
I know it.
I get nervous every time we get in the car and go, man.
I know it. And I go down there several times a week, and we own businesses and stuff like that. And I don't know what's going to happen. Per capita, we got to be top of the nation again. But back to the community policing, that's what we used to do. I mean, I get out of the community, they knew me. That's where I got street named the Wolf and stuff. But I treated them all fair. But I think policing has gotten away from that because of all these video cameras and shit like that. They're afraid to police. I'm not a fan of Mayor Broon just because of things and the way things have gone down since she's been in office. But at least she put up some extra money. She realizes, hey, if we don't do something, we're fucked. That all the tourism's going to quit coming and everything else. You get this. It's like Haiti now, Norwegian cruise lines, no going to Port-au-Prince or wherever it was they went to, Labadee, because you can't guarantee their safety, even with all the cops out there.
When you think of proactive policing, what are a couple of the primary tactics. Proactive or
policing is integrating yourself in the community. You see somebody walking down the street, just say, "Hey, what's up?" You know, and 9 times out of 10, it'd be a friendly conversation, but the other one, you're still being proactive because the dealers know that if they're walking down the street, et cetera, and they might take off running. Also, proactive means actually going out and executing warrants that you know you have on your frequent flyers and stuff like that, and they're hiding and things like that. Just being more visible, more shown. Shout out to Sheriff Willie Grays, and I think Jason R. does the same thing. He used to let us use our units on our days off as long as you stayed in within jurisdiction. Really? And you had your radio on, and if a call came in, you jumped that call. It didn't matter if you were plain clothes or not. If you were right by it, you say, you call in and say, "Hey, I'm going to catch that." And it frees up the guys that are on duty to not only answer calls. You can't be proactive policing if you're chasing 911 calls all night. You're just responding. You're not being proactive. See what I'm saying? Yeah. But getting feet on the boots on the ground, feet on the street, letting the people know that you care about the community, and all those things. But you can't do it nowadays. Or they don't want to do it because they're afraid of the public perception of policing.
Mm-hmm. So. I haven't seen stats on Louisiana or Baton Rouge specific, but I've seen some national stats on truancy rates right now. Yeah, and they are they're through the ceiling.
You know why? Because they can't enforce it like they used to. They could, but they don't have the manpower. People retiring and getting fired and everything else, and nobody wants to become a cop anymore. And who has truancy, runaway, and disobeying your parents? That's all juvenile crimes. You and I can't be arrested for truancy or disobeying our parents. But who has the time and the money allocate for juvenile officers that just chase down kids who don't go to school?
Right, so that was my question. These 14-year-olds younger than that we've seen, right? 15-year-olds that end up falling out of school and getting in with the gangbangers. There's really nothing that seems like is in existence.
Yeah, well, even if you get them, what are you going to do? Where are you going to put them? Are all the juvenile detention centers, you know, fuck, they're escaping and rioting and everything else. It's shit show. Shit show, I don't know.
I agree. Well,
did I tell y'all I'm going to be a grandfather? Am I having a granddaughter?
You mentioned.
I'm having a granddaughter. Scares the fuck out of me. The world that she's coming up in, going to come up in. Yeah.
It is.
My first grandchild, by the way.
In Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Well, just turned one in Brooklyn. So, yeah, it's scary thinking about the world there.
Yeah.
They're coming in. Well, hopefully by the time they hit that age, we'll have fixed
the shit
in this world. Speaking of the shit in this world, do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, mm-hmm. maybe a robe or a framed photo, right. Boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, "Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, "Back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with my life in a book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
140, and that number is probably going to go up here, but 140 people murdered in a terrorist attack in a theater in Moscow on Friday. And I don't know about you guys, but the way I always thought of the terrorists and these radicals was that they had this deep hatred for the West, and it was the U.S. and Western European countries that were the ones they had the deep hatred for. I never would think of a Russia, a China, Iran especially, as being a target for terrorists. And yet, I mean, this it was a just unbelievably deadly attack. Of course, the Russians are claiming that the Ukrainians are responsible, despite the fact that ISIS and ISIS-K specifically has come out and claimed responsibility and did so not long after the attack. But this was brutal. There was a concert for a Russian band called Picnic. Anybody?
Nope. I've never heard of them.
No, none of us do Picnic, but Picnic filled a pretty big – that's a big venue. It's not a small venue. It's a few thousand seat venue. And four guys, automatic weapons, just going in and shooting it up, and really poor response times.
Yeah.
There's different numbers that are out there, but, it's in the 15-plus minute and more response times. I mean, a lot of damage.
They probably haven't changed their ways like we have about mass shootings and stuff like that, because they don't have them, or at least it's not reported that – they have them as much as we do.
All right. Well, this group, ISIS-K, which should be familiar to people because it's the splinter group off of, well, Al-Qaeda originally and Taliban that was responsible for the killing of all those Afghanis when we were in that hasty evacuation, and the 12 U.S. soldiers that got killed at the airport. So same group. And they've been around for about 10 years now and are considered the most violent of all of the current terrorism groups out there. So, like I said, it's been Putin blaming Ukraine, claiming that these folks were trying to escape to a window that was opened for them in Ukraine. Vladimir Zelensky of Ukraine came out immediately and said, absolutely not. We had nothing to do with this. U.S. intelligence had actually given the Russians a heads up about 2 weeks ago. We were picking up all kinds of activity talking about going after Russian theater. So we were that specific in the warning we gave them. Yeah. They had 2 weeks to do whatever they were going to do to batten down the hatches on Russian theaters. I don't know if that one was overlooked. I mean, it doesn't seem like a logical target when you think about it. It's more of a suburban venue they had a Miss America, Miss America, they had Miss U, Miss Universe, sorry, pageant there back in 2013, and you know, concert events like the one that was there that night. I guess the takeaways following it are one, that a lot of video has floated around on social media showing the treatment the Russian military is giving to, I mean, they caught the four gunmen. They caught all of them. They said there were 11 people involved, and I think they believe they've got all of those. But specifically, the gunmen, they've got videos out there of them torturing them. I mean, connecting, you know, electrocuting them through their testicles.
That's for that, those of you who are shocked, you know, United States of America, you're protected against shit like that. That's Russia. They can do whatever they want to. It's a different culture, different country. That's
well, their cutting loss. Cutting the ear off of one and trying to force him to eat his ear. Well, it's interesting because just looking at it from a few thousand feet over the weekend and monitoring it closely, there doesn't seem, now it's not saying there won't be, but it doesn't seem like there's a lot of outrage in the U.S. about this. Maybe it's just the Russian rivalry, but that kind of brutal torture. And yet all the criticism of Israel, and Israel doesn't do anything like that to folks that they capture. So it's a weird dichotomy there. But you know, hopefully Putin will address the right enemy here. And you know, I would expect if they strike back that the world is going to accept and respect the fact that they are. So sad story.
Very sad.
As crazy as things have gotten with the media in this country, it's nothing like it is in a place like Russia, where the story comes out of the Kremlin and the media either delivers it exactly how the Kremlin asks or there's going to be trouble. So what Russians are hearing from their government is that this was the Ukrainians, because they're constantly trying to get people to remain motivated for this war, which is now over a year old.
Yep. Temple. Yeah. Well, we're going to bring you back to Louisiana. Since Louisiana is, and it's no laughing matter, has got so much crime going on right now. But here's one real close to home right here in Livingston Parish. As a matter of fact, this passed very, very close to where we are sitting right now. And that was a high-speed police chase where a car ended up inside of a home.
There you go.
Livingston Parish Sheriff's deputies apprehended a Denham Springs man under investigation for drug dealing after he crashed a truck through a house in Central Friday afternoon after a high-speed pursuit across parish lines. Deputies were attempting to arrest Ronnie Spence, who was 40, in the River Road area of Denham Springs. When Spence refused to stop and fled Denham Springs via LA 16, y'all, which is the main kind of thoroughfare here in Denham.
That's where I drive in every morning.
That's it. He continued down the road into East Baton Rouge Parish before he turned into a subdivision off Wax Road.
Yep.
According to deputy, Spence then jumped from his vehicle, leaving the truck to crash into a Magnolia Blossom Avenue house. So a neighborhood, right. He bails out while the car is still going down the road, and it crashes into the home. The owner of the home didn't comment, only saying that the biggest inconvenience of the whole ordeal was he missed his round of golf. That's a positive way to look at a negative situation.
He's now got an open air kitchen.
Pay insurance for the rest of it.
Oh man, new repaint. Livingston Parish Sheriff's deputies put Spence into custody after they searched his car and found a gun as well as several drugs, including fentanyl, heroin, methamphetamine, and you wouldn't imagine this drug being mixed in there. Steroids.
Really?
Yeah, he wanted to get buff while he was selling his methamphetamine and his fentanyl. He got sick of the reputation you have when you do meth.
So, Jim, you're going to need a new Roid connection.
I'm going to need a new Roid connection. After he was processed into the East Baton Rouge Parish Sheriff's Office as a fugitive, he'll be booked into the Livingston Parish detention center on drug charges as well as flight and resisting. According to deputies, he still had business to handle with authorities in Donaldsonville as well as narcotics charges out of Georgia and Florida. Yeah. So it sounds like at the end of the day, they got a guy off the streets that needed. Yeah, I mean, this is obviously a troublemaker of the the nth degree.
The catch there, I knew.
But you know, another high speed chase.
Yeah, and when you said that he went across the bridge, which had been the Magnolia Bridge. In the wax parade, I was thinking, them deputies, they hated that shit because you get the arrest, then you got to go book them in the East Baton Rouge Parish Prison and then wait for them to get processed, which is hours and hours and hours.
Oh, yeah.
And then bring them back over here and book them. So if I had a warrant for somebody across the bridge, I would go over there and be like, if I could catch them in a decent mood, I'd be like, hey, homie, I got a warrant for you.
Yeah.
If we can do it one of two ways, we can go to Baton Rouge City, to East Baton Rouge Parish Prison, and sit there for fucking 14 hours, and you could be in a holding cell, and I'm going to have to wait and then eventually bring you back. Or you could just get in my car voluntarily, and as soon as we cross the Magnolia Bridge, I'm going to arrest your ass.
Right.
And so I got away with that one. Okay.
It's always that long to book somebody.
Oh, East Baton Rouge Parish Prison is no joke.
Man.
So I guess it depends on what time of day. You really don't want it during the daytime because you got people leaving for court and coming back for doctor's visits and whatever. And they throw you in a holding tank, get to you when they can.
Well, the audience loves when I do sports crimes, as you guys know. We get all kinds of fan mail supporting us doing sports crimes. And this is the biggest crime-related sports story in as long as I can imagine. I mean, this is a huge deal because it involves Major League Baseball's best player. Right. And I know you guys know who that is.
Don Mattingly.
Babe Ruth.
Okay, so Jim, that's a little bit outdated, former Yankee first baseman and former Major League manager, Donnie Baseball, Don Mattingly.
Sammy Sosa.
And Babe Ruth was a great player who actually – this player is often compared to Babe Ruth. I'll tell you why. But his name is Shohei Ohtani, or as they call him, Showtime.
Showtime.
He's a Japanese player who came over to the United States.
Did you see that Korean girl throughout the pitch last week?
Yeah, I did.
Yes. That was in Korea. That game was in Korea. It was a special preseason game in Korea, but the entire Dodger dugout had their tongues hanging out.
Very much.
She's like some K-pop star or something. I don't know. Or movie star.
She's wearing that uniform.
That uniform was wearing her.
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, just to give you a little bit on Ohtani, he's so good. First of all, he's a guy who is a pitcher and is one of the best pitchers in the league, and a hitter who's one of the best hitters in the league, which really Major League Baseball hasn't seen since the days of Babe Ruth, his early days before he even became a Yankee, when he was a Boston Brave, and he both would hit 50 home runs a year and win 20 games as a pitcher. So that doesn't really happen, hasn't really happened in 50-plus years in Major League Baseball, but when Ohtani came over, he did both. Did both for the L.A. Angels, and last offseason he signed a $700 million deal with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
This shit go breaks.
To become the highest paid player in baseball, $700 million deal. Okay, so I won't bore you with all of his awards, but now you know who he is. We're talking about the best player in the game. So story breaks out, really weird. He doesn't speak English, so he has spoken exclusively through his interpreter, who is technically a Dodgers employee, or was, I should say, a Dodgers employee, who was hired specifically for the purpose of being the liaison to the media and the team for Ohtani. Well, the story comes out that there's, I guess I should preface this with, sports betting is still illegal in California. They have not legalized it. So you cannot do a DraftKings or Caesars sports book or any of that in California. You play fantasy, but you can't bet on sports. It comes out that $4.5 million has been paid out of Otani's money to some bookie that the feds have been watching for some period of time. So this all comes out through an investigation. ESPN scores an interview with the interpreter. He agrees to talk to him. He talks to him for 90 minutes. And his story is that he's the gambler, that that Otani loaned him the $4.5 million to pay off the bookie, and Otani, you know, didn't know anything about what was going on with this guy. Well, that story hasn't even broken yet when the Otani camp comes out and says that entire story was a lie and that Otani didn't know anything about it, never bet on sports at all, has never bet on baseball, that basically, you know, the interpreter got access and stole his money and paid the stuff off. They fired that interpreter and they get a new interpreter in, but it feels like they built a wall around him with lawyers and everybody else.
You 700 have, million reasons to blame him on interpreter.
Well, the 700 million reasons for him, but for baseball, it's billions and billions of dollars of reasons, because this is their biggest player. This is their player opening up all kinds of international marketing opportunities. I mean, he is the number one seller around the globe and across Japan and other Asian countries. He's huge. So he is the most valuable player for baseball, their most valuable asset. And so the wagons got circled. The story is changed. He's announced that he won't be speaking to the press at all about this, that he needs to focus on baseball. He's said what he needed to say. The lawyers will handle everything from here. And there's just all kinds of craziness going on around social media.
Anybody?
They haven't yet. From what it looks like is this interpreter's going to go down for this thing, whether he did it or not. And I don't know if what they could possibly do to motivate this guy to go along with whatever the story is. But as you always say, it's usually the first story is the truth.
Yeah. You know? Well, yeah, the thing is, he couldn't have been that good getting that much information because he lost $4.5 million.
Yeah, whoever was doing the gambling wasn't very good at it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The one thing that makes it a problem is that because if this happened in another state, Otani could just come out and say, yeah, I was betting on basketball games and football, and, you know, I got a $700 million deal, right, so I can wipe my butt with $4.5 million. Right. But you can't, because it's a crime in California. So if it was him, he'd be admitting a crime. It would be out of baseball's hands. They couldn't protect him.
Right.
And although I don't know why Governor Newsom would be that encouraged to go after him.
If I bet on baseball, I won't bet on this dude's games.
Yeah.
Well, you guys all know Pete Rose has never gotten in the Hall of Fame because of it. So anyway.
But he only bet on himself to win.
And I believe that completely with Pete Rose, and he should be in the Hall of Fame. I agree. I don't know what the story is here, but it sniffs like cover up going on now. And first story, probably the truth. But since the money came out of accounts that are Otani's accounts, it would technically be Otani who is breaking them.
So criminal.
Yeah, so we shall see what happens in Dodger land right after they spend $700 million.
That's right, and we want to bring you to the Goon Squad.
Yep, saw this.
We gave you an update. Well, we're going to give you an update on this story.
Coin Boys?
Goon Squad. They might as well be.
Yeah.
We brought you a story of six police officers in Mississippi that horribly tortured two black guys. in that state, and they have sentenced them. And these six former officers in Mississippi pled guilty to breaking into a home without a warrant and torturing those two black men. High-ranking former Deputy Brett McAlphin, 53, received a sentence of about 27 years and was the fifth former law enforcement officer sentenced this week by U.S. District Judge Tom Lee after pleading guilty to that attack. The assault involved beatings, the repeated use of stun guns, and assaults with a sex toy before one of the victims was shot in the mouth in a mock execution. The final member of the group, 32-year-old former Richland police officer Joshua Hartfield, was given a sentence of 10 years on Thursday afternoon. Before his sentencing, he apologized to the victims, Michael Corey Jenkins and Eddie Terrell Parker, in court. I'm pretty sure they didn't care too much for that apology, but he offered it, and what, you know, whether it was legitimate or not, this was wrong. It was all wrong. It's not how people should treat each other, McAlphin said, though he did not look at the victims when he spoke. I'm really sorry for being a part of something that made law enforcement look so bad. Lee had also sentenced four other law enforcement officers who were involved in that attack. Chris Deadman was sentenced to 40 years in prison for his role and for another incident in 2022. Hunter Edward was sentenced to over 20 years in prison, and two other officers, Jeffrey Middleton and Daniel Opdyke, were each sentenced to 17 and a half years.
Fuck them.
So
it should have been sentenced, right?
There's you one. We brought you from start to finish that it looks like they threw the book at these guys. Matter of fact, the judge was pretty much sentenced them right up to the max. Yeah. Not quite the max, but yeah, a nut hair away, as we'd say in the South.
They'd be locked up in admin 6 cell protective custody.
Yeah.
Because they got issues.
They got issues.
Coming.
Yeah.
Well, and something like that will shake up the entire culture if it was more widespread than, you know, that group, right? I mean, something like that is a major, major wake-up call, hopefully, to whatever vestiges of that sort of policing exist there. So
save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's go to Texas.
Texas.
Yes.
Normally, the police don't release the names of juveniles that have committed crimes, but in this case, the state of Texas made an exception.
Wow.
Spanky McFarland, Alfalfa Switzer, and Buckwheat Thomas were not the actual names of the three kids arrested, but rather the names of three prominent characters from one of my favorites, the Little Rascals series. Let me explain. The FBI announced that it had arrested three minors in Houston. The boys, age 11, 12, and 16, have been dubbed the Little Rascals.
I saw this.
However, these Little Rascals didn't steal Mrs. McGillicuddy's lunch or hold Darla hostage for going inside the He-Man Woman Haters Club. No, they allegedly robbed a bank.
No, allegedly they did it.
Yeah. All three bank robbery suspects known as the Little Rascals are now in custody. Authorities did not provide any further details about the boys' identities because they are juveniles. On March 14th, the FBI alleged the trio had robbed a Wells Fargo in Houston. The Harris County Sheriff said the boys came into the bank and showed a threatening note to a teller. I would imagine as a teller, you're not really sure if that's a joke or not, right? I
mean, yeah, but you're trained to take it not as a joke.
Well, sheriff's office said the boys were suspected to be carrying a weapon but did not brandish one. Authorities said the boys fled with an undisclosed amount of cash. I'm guessing it was a pretty big number that might embarrass everybody if it was released, which is maybe why they're not saying. The FBI said they fled on foot, They did have a 16-year-old, so I guess he could have driven, but maybe they went on their skateboards. The FBI released photos of the juvenile suspects in its announcement. A Twitter post from the FBI read, "Recognize these little rascals? Believe it or not, they just robbed the Wells Fargo at 10261 North Freeway. Two of the suspects were turned in by their own parents who recognized them from the FBI posts." Experts have expressed shock at the age of the suspects. The age of the younger two, that's unusual for a bank robbery, retired juvenile district court judge Mike Snyder said. It's one of the first times I've seen that. Snyder also suggested the rascals may have had an adult accomplice masterminding the operation. He said because kids have a punishment that's less severe, it's not uncommon for adult offenders to get them to commit crimes on their behalf. The boys have been charged with robbery by threat, according to the FBI. If they are convicted, they could face probation until they are 18 or juvenile prison until they are 19.
I read that last week that they had implicated or implied that they did when robbed the money to go to spring break down in Corpus Christi or wherever.
If your parents don't give you the spring break money, you're going to get it.
I love the parents saw their photos and turned their ass in.
Yeah.
That's how they used to do it back in the day.
Yeah. Even when you were a kid, if you stole a piece of bubble gum, you had to go back in the store and tell the clerk.
Swim had to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have gone with the shave their heads, put an earring on and some fake facial hair.
My daddy had
even get away with that.
Had a belt from Mexico, handmade belt with doves and carved. Yeah, I probably still have those tattoos on my back.
Handmade belts back then. And then have your name on them.
Serious, yes.
Oh, those are the worst. Yeah,
put that spank down.
Yeah, that's bad. We were a wooden spoon household. My mother would just chase me around with that wooden spoon.
My mom was like, wait till your daddy gets home. And he had to sweat it for like 2.5 hours. And he got home from work. All he wanted to go do is sit down and have his highball and watch TV. And then he had to deal with me.
I couldn't imagine. Couldn't imagine.
And I was the only one out of all my brothers and sisters he ever had to deal with.
Yeah. Look,
out, Dad. Love you.
We haven't talked about Riley Strain yet, but
that's right.
Obviously he
big deal.
Was found
right.
Posted a little update on Facebook because I knew it would be a while before we were able to talk about it, but found miles down from where he went into the water.
It's lots of questions. There are a lot of people saying why didn't they do this and why didn't they do that.
Yeah, and you know, the friend thing came up and all of us discussed this at the beginning, and we're absolutely right that you should never leave your friends when they're in that condition. And I don't know what his friend's condition was. I don't know if they were all just totally inebriated. I would suspect they probably were. But
I saw somewhere somebody posted supposedly a cop saw him or stopped him or something.
Well, a cop walked past him when he was walking the other direction. Yeah.
And one of the videos came from a car that you could see was stopped and watching him. So that the person in the car had to have some thoughts for them to just stop and watch him. Nothing that got him out of the car to do anything.
The person in the car may have been making out with their sister or something. Or with
Let's hope not.
But they may not be.
I guess that's possible.
Maybe they were smoking a joint or something. I don't know, but you know what? Sad, hate it for his family. I don't think it was going to be robbery or murder because his bank card being on the bank, why wouldn't you take that?
It's all just conjecture, but it looks like he just walked off in the water, maybe slept.
You're walking ankle deep in the water. That's like a cliff. Yeah. You fall off that thing, you're gone.
Kids, you go away. You agree before the night starts who your wingman is. And you stick with that person, and they meet a girl, and they want to go somewhere with the girl. They meet anybody, then
you have to jump on a grenade.
There's at least two of them, but you can't you can't let them go in there.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers out to his family though, because I have kids that age. I couldn't imagine
kids that lived through it.
Horrible.
Yeah. Banjos.
Look at this. Banjos get center stage this episode. Right?
Get I don't think all this is the ever, love for Wednesday.
Ever happened a banjo Wednesday? Well, this dummy deserves it. His name is Matthew J. Ornais Jr., and he had long planned his escape from a Hawaiian jail. He'd spent months getting himself into tip-top physical condition so that he could handle the scaling of the walls that separated him from freedom. Apparently, Ornais' intricate planning didn't take what lay outside the jail walls into consideration. The guy never even made it to the Waffle House because Ornais became the victim of a serious hit and run less than 100 yards from the entrance to the jail. He escaped from Kauai Community Correctional Center at 1 a.m., the Hawaii Department of Corrections said. Moments later, he was running along Kuhio Highway, and that's when he was struck by a vehicle. Corrections officers found him. He was seriously injured about 100 yards from the jail. He's been hospitalized ever since and remains in serious condition. Authorities are still searching for the driver of the vehicle who fled before first responders arrived. Rosemarie Bernardo, a spokesperson for the department, said Ornais escaped after he scaled a fence covered in razor wire. He is serving a sentence for promoting a dangerous drug. Reports from the hospital say he is spending his time pursuing a lifelong ambition to learn how to play the banjo. Yeah. Good luck, dummy. Yes.
Promoting a dangerous drug.
Even make it to the Waffle. I bet there was a Waffle House like a quarter mile down the Kuhio Highway.
He's telling somebody that, you know, oh, go try a homie's fentanyl because it's good shit. Yeah. The, dumb criminals, and y'all know this is our first day back since Broussard, and we can't really go into details of everything that Jim and Mike got to see, but I got to see Jim and Mike in the position they never thought they would be in. One thing we got to view, we can't really talk about.
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, well, the other thing we got to view.
And I was hungover as shit.
Yeah. But I want to give a shout out to those autopsy techs. Remember when we were in that back room? So y'all, whatever your names are, we love y'all. Look, they had the real life, real crime mouse pad underneath the mouse in the computer in the autopsy room.
Yep.
Freaking cool. And they all listened.
And that was old school real life, real crime mouse pad.
And they all love the show, and we love them, and we love Roy and Kristen. What a great group of people.
Really are.
And it was, I mean, we had a great time there, but it didn't seem real to me.
Yeah. When you're looking at the bodies like that, they don't seem real.
It just didn't seem real.
Yeah. Well, it's real.
Yeah, it's real.
And that's what I always said. I don't want an autopsy done to me because it's the most invasive thing ever. But at least
invasive is definitely a good word for it.
Cover the man's private.
But Ducky on NCIS, he's taught me a lot about autopsies watching NCIS.
Yeah, and that's why every autopsy tech and whatever hates NCIS and CIS and Las Vegas CIS and whatever the fuck else.
No, but that's the original. Mark Harmon, NCIS. Yeah. Come on.
I don't know, but I'm going to tell you this. We love them, and shout out to them. Thank to them for supporting us and y'all for checking it out. And we like doing that with our local business. And on our next episode, we're about to.
We have a great surprise.
And so you'll be getting that on your crime time for Thursday. So that's all I got, peeps.
All right. Mike, anything?
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Aglets.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.